Abby had a problem with that, wait for it. It looked like it for wait. We're used to reading from the top down, but on that you're supposed to read from the big words to the little words. So waiting upon the Lord. You know, we might question exactly what does that mean in the context. And realize I've got the wrong outline up here, so I hope my PowerPoint doesn't go out. We might question, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? In one sense, it means depend on him, wait for him to work. Abraham failed to do that. And Sarah, of course, when they were expecting a child, and yet God hadn't provided one, so they gave up and decided to take things into their own hands. And so it could mean that we need to wait for the Lord in his own time to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, and to depend on him, to trust in him, that he is going to accomplish what he says he's planning to accomplish. And so, wait upon the Lord. This has given comfort and encouragement to countless numbers of saints over the centuries, to know that they can depend on God, that they can receive strength and encouragement from him. Some believe that this scripture is a reference to heaven and what we will be like there, that we won't get tired, we won't have any problems, we won't have any suffering and all of that. While all of that is true, I think in the context here, it appears that he is talking more about us here on this earth. So we're going to be looking at this scripture and how it applies to us today, and how meaningful it can be to us in this life today. First of all, we see the posture of renewal. Those who wait upon the Lord. Psalm 25:21 says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Waiting for God with integrity and uprightness, and continuing to live for God, believing in his promises that he will see that everything works out all right. All things will work together for good. Psalm 27:13-14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And notice here he says, in the land of the living. And of course, some could say, well, that's talking about in the land of the living where we never die, talking about heaven. But it seems to appear that it's talking about in this life, that and the faith that he has. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So whether it's in this life or whether it's in the life to come, it's true that we need to wait on the Lord. We need to trust him. We need to be of good courage, and he will strengthen our heart if we wait on him. Psalm 40:1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, trust in the Lord. And so here we see the idea that David was in a bad place, and God lifted him up. So we know that's talking about in this life. And so he said, I was in a bad place, a horrible pit, miry clay, and yet he put me on a rock. He lifted me up out of those problems, and he put a new song in my mouth. And there again, it's talking about trusting in the Lord, that no matter what our situation is, we can be sure that God is faithful and he will supply what we need to overcome the problems that we face in this life. So the posture of renewal, waiting upon the Lord. And then in Lamentations 3, verses 25 and 26, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So again here, the idea of waiting for him, seeking him, looking for him and his salvation, his rescuing us from the problems that we face, and hoping and waiting quietly. Not getting all anxious and upset, just quietly waiting for the Lord, knowing that he is going to see that everything works out all right. And so that waiting on the Lord, trusting him, putting our faith and trust in him, that he will fulfill his promises. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So here the emphasis was on waiting for Jesus. And obviously that's talking about in this life, that we wait for him. A lot of people predicted when the Lord was coming, and we hear it continually, and we hear it today. Oh, time is short. I looked at all these earthquakes and all these horrible things that are happening. And some are even pointing to this eclipse and trying to make it something, say something that it doesn't say. But we are to patiently wait for the Lord. For all practical purposes, our death ends all of our possibilities on this life, in this life, and on this earth. And so we wait patiently for the Lord. We continue to do his will, and we trust that he's going to keep up his end of the bargain. That if we are faithful to him, he has a home prepared for us in heaven. And we just simply need to continue to follow him and trust in him. Wait upon the Lord. Then the promise of renewal. He shall renew their strength. Job 17 and verse 9, yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. And so God renews the strength of the righteous. He who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. The more righteous we are, the more strength God gives to us. And so obviously that makes sense to us. Just as the more we use our money to glorify God, the more he increases our money, so that we can help more people, the same thing is true with our strength. The more we use our energy to do those things that are right in his sight and strive to live pure lives before him, the stronger he will make us to be able to do those things that he wants us to be able to do. That seems to kind of be partially what Paul is talking about when he's talking about, you know, departing, being with the Lord, being much better for him. But he knew that for the sake of the church, that he was going to remain longer. And so he was going to receive the strength he needed to continue on this earth and do those things that God wanted for him to do. Job 33, 24 through 26. Then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be young like a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. This one does seem more to look toward life after death, restoring the youth and the days of youth. And I've heard all sorts of debates about what's the resurrection body is going to be like, and whether we're going to be like 20 years old, or exactly what's that resurrection body going to be like. Well, as Jesus said, you really don't know what you're talking about, because it's a spiritual body, and it's not registered by years. And we have a hard time understanding that. So we want to know, what's that resurrection body going to be like? But it's a spiritual body. We can't compare a spiritual body to a physical body. And that's what we're wanting to do. We want to know how young we're going to be. We want to know, is a baby still going to be a baby in heaven? What's it going to be? Well, we don't know, and we probably couldn't understand if we could know exactly what it is. But here seems to be indicating that God will restore our strength and our righteousness before him. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so we in this life are to put off the old things and put on the new things. To stop doing those things that we shouldn't be doing, as we talked about this morning, and put on the new man. Start doing the things God wants us to do. We are renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We become more like Christ. And that should be our goal, to become more like Christ each day that we live on this earth. To become more and more like him. And to be renewed in our knowledge. As we learn more about him, to start trying to emulate that in our own lives. And then the power of renewal. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. How many of you know what our national bird almost was instead of the eagle? Anybody know? Turkey. You turkeys, how would you like for our national bird to have been turkey? But they considered that as being our national bird. And I can see the world now calling, oh, those Americans, you turkeys over there, yeah. So, but we wound up with the eagle. Great deal of respect for the eagle. And it's flying high and effortlessly flying. And so that's the idea, the power of renewal, that we'll mount up with wings like eagles. I've seen some beautiful pictures of eagles in all sorts of situations. Some flying across a lake with their wings just barely touching the water. Some with them flying high, some in nests. Saw one recently feeding one of its young. And beautiful pictures of eagles. And so God uses that. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. Another reference to the eagle and the power and strength that they have. And this indicates that God will bring that to us. We need not forget the benefits of being righteous before him and what he does for us. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies our mouth with good things, and renews our youth like the eagle. Psalm 138, verse 1 through 3. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. And so David said he received strength from the Lord. And hopefully we've all experienced that strength from the Lord in times of weakness, times when we wondered, how can I go on? Maybe at the loss of someone that we love dearly. And we wondered, how can I continue on? But we received strength from the Lord to continue. And so that promise is to us. If we put Him first and we magnify Him in this life, He'll see that we have the strength that we need to carry on no matter what problems we face in this life. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul, talking about the thorn in his flesh, and we really don't know what that is. Some people say it was his eyesight, because he talks about, see what bold letters I write to you, that he had to write real big when he wrote something personally. Some said it was a problem that he had in his walking as a result of falling when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he was weak in his body, as the Corinthians said. And some said that it was some other problem, his speech. He was weak in speech, they said. He had a speech impediment. But we don't really know what the thorn in the flesh was. But he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. He had been taken up to third heaven. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so Paul's saying he recognized that God works through our weaknesses. That it's when we recognize our weaknesses that he gives us strength. And so he said, I'm going to boast then in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, when I recognize my own weakness, it allows God to work in me. And so we have to understand that as long as we're trying to do it on our own, God's not going to help us. But when we give up and say, I can't do it, then he'll take over and give us what we need to give us the strength that we need to overcome that. It's much the same, and I experienced this when Adrian was small. He'd bring a toy for me to fix. And I'd start working on it. He wouldn't leave it in my hands long enough for me to fix it. He'd want to keep playing with it. And I told him, you've got to give it to me. You've got to give it up so that I can fix it. And I can't fix it as long as you keep trying to do it yourself or play with it yourself. And so recognizing our own weakness and our own abilities allows God to take over and work in our lives for us. The power of renewal. And then the perseverance of renewal. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That he'll give us strength to continue on our journey here on this earth. Job 17:9. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. And so as long as we're working for God, he's going to see that we have the strength to continue to do that. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so our light affliction is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That we don't lose heart, because even though outwardly These bodies are getting older and they can't accomplish what they used to. God is going to renew the inward man. And we sometimes make statements about, you know, my body just can't do what it used to do, but my mind thinks it can. And so it just goes ahead trying to do those things and realizes, wait a minute, this body's just not going to do it anymore. But we are renewed inwardly, day by day. And those things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal in heaven, in the heavens. And so we look forward to that time. Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So if we keep on plugging away, keep on keeping on, keep on going and going, then there's a promise waiting for us that we will reap everlasting life ultimately. And so they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Keeping on doing the will of God, the perseverance of renewal. Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a promise that is to us, and how important it is for us to understand that promise and what it means for us as his children. Do you have the posture of renewal? Are you waiting upon the Lord? Do you have the promise of renewal? Is your strength being renewed? Do you have the power of renewal? Are you mounting up with wings like eagles? And do you have the perseverance of renewal? Are you running and not becoming weary and walking and not fainting? That's his promise to us. And we have that promise that if we wait on him, we put our faith and trust in him, we have a home prepared for us in heaven where we won't have to worry about the problems of this life. And we will truly have that renewed strength where we won't be weary ever again. We won't faint. We won't die. We won't have any problems at all. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that time. I'm ready because I'm starting to feel more aches and pains and limitations of this body. And I'm ready to have what God has promised to me in heaven. If we can help you to be assured of that in your life, to be assured that that home is there waiting for you, and that you're doing what God expects of you to ensure that you have that, then we'd love to help you, whether it's in initial obedience to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or whether it be as a Christian to repent of sins in your life and rededicate yourself to living more faithfully to him. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.